Amen. What a place to be this morning, huh? It's good to be a Christian. I'm thankful for His love for me one day that He called me out of the hole I was wallowing in, as He did each and every one of you. Amen. Admit it or not, we were all in that dirty hole. We were all found unworthy. We were all guilty. It's something that's being neglected in the church today, is the message that everybody is guilty. We tell them come and this and that, but they first got to know they're guilty. Our children need to know they're guilty. The Ten Commandments. My topic this morning is God's love letter. And that was talked about this morning in our Sunday school class in the testimonies. Testimonies is a powerful form of worship. It is a way for you as an individual to sing your praises to our Heavenly Father, to sing your praises to the one who died on the cross for you, to say, acknowledge that what He's done and doing in your life. But it falls on ears all around you. Your testimonies are encouraging to somebody else who maybe is going through something, who needs lifted up. Because if you ain't going through something today, you will be tomorrow. And we're all caught up in this thing going on right now in our world. And it's made us take on a new attire, which is called a mask. But it can't get in the way of our service to the Lord. It cannot. So, and in thinking about this, the Lord has just laid this on my heart. If you would stand, we're going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 4. We're going to read the first 11 verses. And the topic has already been touched on this morning. It is so amazing how God puts services together. We can't fake this, people. We can't make up those heartfelt testimonies. We can't make it seem like the Holy Spirit's stirring unless the Holy Spirit is really stirring. We cannot pretend this stuff. This is real. We are in a service here this morning to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to acknowledge God as Creator of all things as we read His Word here this morning. Then Jesus led up of the Spirit unto the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But He answered and said, quote, Jesus said, It is written. That is going to be the key to the whole sermon this morning. It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up to the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. Did you hear who just said, For it is written? He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. But Jesus said unto him, quote, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then saith Jesus unto him, quote, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only thou shalt serve. and the devil leaveth, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Let us pray. Lord, again, we are just so humbled that we can bow here before you with the living word of God open before us, Lord, and with the Holy Spirit stirring with our hearts, Lord, in this place that's been created by you and you alone. We want to give you praise and honor and glory this morning. We want to ask for you to bless this service here this morning. Every word, may it be bringing glory to you. I pray again for our pastor this morning. It was just lift him up as only you can, Lord. And I pray for those who couldn't be here this day. And I ask for you to bless and move and stir our hearts, Lord, whether we be in the building, in the cars, or in our homes where you can hear the word being preached. I ask for your blessing upon each and everything that's said and done this day. And again, I ask for you to get Jamie Burton out of the way here this morning, Lord. I ask for your word to flow freely among us and move upon us as only you can make it move. And these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. 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 I knew when that was touched on about 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and it is written, and in a sermon that I kind of listened to this week, the preacher said the statement, the spoken word of God, the living word of God, and the written word of God. So that's what we're going to talk a bit about here this morning. The spoken word of God, the living word of God, and the written word of God. We're going to start out in very proud of a granddaughter that come home from, she's in preschool, and she come home from school, and here's what she says. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Genesis 1:1. Now she'll say it slow, Pap. Say it slow, so God and Jesus can hear us. But in the beginning, okay, now if you read on through that scripture, you'll see verse 3, God said. Verse 5, God called. Verse 6, God said. Verse 8, God called. And you can go on and on and on and on. And that is the spoken word of God. And it's not going to stop right there either. I got a few more scriptures, and these are just jumping around where God spoke. It says in Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees in the garden. Now we know why they hid, because of their sin. But it strikes terror in the hearts of the lost. Now think about that. God's spoken word. A still small voice. And we know who I'm going to talk about there. And it was found in 1 Kings 19:12. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. The spoken word of God. Have you heard that still small voice in your heart? And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like a noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. We know God spoke everything into existence, don't we? You got to accept that. That's the word of God. That is the spirit of truth. It's like in the beginning God created. God done all this, but that was the beginning as we know it. It's not the beginning of God. We got to remember that. God didn't just magically appear and create all this. God always was and always will be. So He spoke everything into existence. His spoken word needs to be heard with our ears. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, 17. This is right after his baptism. It says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So we know that was the voice of God. In Matthew 17:5, right after his transfiguration. Matthew 17:5 says, while he yet speak, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And what does he say? Hear ye him. That's the spoken word of God to those that heard. Hear ye him. And it's the same today for us to hear ye him. I preached a sermon a while back, a lot of voices when we was outside, but there's a lot of voices out there, but we got to pay attention to one voice, and that's the voice of God, the spoken word of God. So moving on, we're going to talk now about the living word of God. Does everybody know who the living word of God is? Jesus. It's God in the flesh. It's Jesus come to this earth. John 1:1. This will all be familiar to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Pretty straightforward. No room for debate. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. That's confirming us that Jesus is the living Word. John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, also says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the Word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the living Word. So, I learned this in a lesson Greg taught a time back. Hebrews chapter 6. So we're going to talk about Jesus Himself for just a few seconds, or minutes, or hours, or whatever. It says, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, and that doesn't mean walking away from Him. That means we're founded on Him. That means that's where we stand. That's our starting point, is the doctrine of Christ, the living Word. It is about what He has done and what He is going to do. It's about the foundation that is talked about all the time in our classes, in Dave's sermons. And it's where we got to build upon. Amen. Is that foundation. Is the doctrine of Christ. It says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. That's what he's emphasizing that right now. That's established. The living Word of God is the starting point. The living Word of God is our anchor. The living Word of God is the only place we can be. Everything else will be nothing without the living Word of God. Have I got that point across? Jesus is the living Word of God. And I'll think about the Gospels. All the Gospels. We talk about the Bible, and the Old Testament and the New Testament. But the Old Testament, we've learned, always points toward Christ. It does, right? Right out the gate. It points toward Christ. Then you got the Gospels, that is about Christ. Then you got the Epistles, which references to Christ. Amen. That is the living Word of God, is Christ. I can't emphasize that enough here this morning. That's where we got to maintain our focus. That's where we got to continue to grow upon. It was talked about this morning. We got to keep growing and keep stepping and getting closer. We can't be distracted by things of this world. The Gospels is his life. And what was his life? We can sum that up real quick. And we know he was the gift from God. He was the opportunity. The only opportunity we have to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Okay? Now, Jesus was born of a virgin. He was born pure. He was born conceived with the Holy Ghost in young Mary, a pure virgin. He lived a perfect life. You cannot deny he lived a perfect life. It has been tried. Satan has tried to dig things up, as we see in the political world. Everybody's got some dirt on him, but Jesus does not. He does not. The living Word of God does not have any dirt on him. So, he's born pure. He lived a pure life. He shed his pure blood. No other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. No other amount of blood can cover your and my sin. It was Jesus' perfect blood. The only acceptable sacrifice was the living Word of God. And to go on to say, he overcame death, hell, and the grave. Amen. And where's he at right now, folks? On the right hand of the Father. And you know what he's doing there? He's not sitting there with his feet propped up going, look at what I did. Amen. He's saying, God, forgive Greg. God, forgive Craig. God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's petitioning for you right now. Amen. And me. Right now. Why? Because we need it. Why? Because we are guilty. Why? Because we can't do it right. Why? Because our blood is not pure. Why? Because our actions are not pure. We are born of sin. We have sin nature, who we're born with, and we have sin actions that we do. So, the living Word of God is Jesus Christ. Well, I think we could talk all day about Jesus, you know. But moving on, let's talk just a little bit about the written Word. And he had it on the Sunday school class this morning. It's called the Book of Ages. Think of the Ten Commandments. Why do we have the Ten Commandments? To show us our guilt. To show us that we are guilty, to show us that we can't be good enough, to show us that we need a Savior, somebody that can be good enough. We need somebody to step in for us. We need somebody on the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Jeremiah 36:2 says, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations. For the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah even unto this day. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's powerful. That's powerful. We're going to talk about the standard by which we live. I couldn't help but think this morning was talked about can't remember the exact way, but it took my mind right to where Satan was telling Adam and Eve, surely you won't die. If you eat of that tree, surely you won't die. You'll become as gods and know good and evil. And when I realized that his statement meant you could determine it for yourself. Do we live in a society today that wants to determine right and wrong? We do. We live in a world today that's just running rampant. I want it my way and not yours. And we're all guilty. We're all guilty. Every one of us in here. That's why we need the written word of God. The written word is the standard. I probably know a lot of it. The written word is the standard by which our lives are to be. The standard. Without the written word of God, we wouldn't know who is guilty, Greg. Because we don't make it up. Like you said, we're not born thinking, oh, I shouldn't steal, lie, cuss, and do all that stuff. It just comes natural. It does. We don't have to teach our children to hide from us. Nobody had taught me that. Even Rodney didn't even teach me that. I learned on my own. That's why it's the written word. We need that. That is the standard. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. It wasn't made up. Man didn't write it. We've discussed that before. The word of God. Man could not make up in the wildest imagination the love that is in this book. Amen. The love. Man can't comprehend that God love. As Rodney was talking about love this morning, the closest thing we can see to God's love for us is a mama's love. And we were blessed. We had a mama that really loved us. And I pray that you did too. But man cannot make up grace. It's not in man. There's no natural instinct in man to show grace. It's always get even or whatever. 1:21. First, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Revelation 14:13 says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. That was Jesus telling John to write what he saw. One more. Now, we've heard a lot about why do we study the Word? Why do we need to keep digging and keep digging? It's like, oop, I got it. No, not going to happen. But we got to keep digging and keep digging and keep digging. It says, Deuteronomy 6:6 says, and these words will I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Deuteronomy 11:8 says, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Renew the mind, it says in Romans chapter 12. The light have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In Psalm 119:11. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I had a discussion with a young man this week about how do you talk to folks. You bring up the Lord and they just get... riled up. They don't want to talk about it, or say you're a you hate. There's not a speck of hate in the Word of God. Amen. Hide the Word in your heart. Because if you argue on your own merits, you're just going to cause trouble. It's going to fail. But you can never go wrong with the written Word of God. Point them towards Scriptures. Whether it's the alternate lifestyle thing, the abortion thing, or any of those things is addressed right there. That's why we need to study the Word of God to know when we can give the answer. If you don't know on the alternative lifestyle thing, look up, I think it's in Leviticus 18. Just read that right there. You'll see it. It's not Jamie's word. It's God's word. God-inspired word. God's spoken, inspired, written word. It's clear right there. And then they don't have an issue with you. They take it out on you. But we're not their enemy. That's why we got to have it written on our hearts. And in closing, if Belinda wants to get a song there, get that youngin'. But the point of it all is salvation. Listen, we would not know who God is without His spoken word. We would not have an opportunity to have a relationship with God without the living Word. And we would not have the knowledge. We would not have in our hands. You know, these are words written on in black letters, black and red letters on white paper. But the power goes so far beyond that. The power of grace. The power that God extends, and the power of the Holy Spirit to show us, to guide us with what we're reading when we read the Word of God. It happens over and over. Ken talked about it this morning just a bit. Something may speak to you one day, that'll speak to you the next day in a different way from there. God said He'll give it to us when we're ready. Do you want all God has to offer? Okay, we're established. God's spoken word. Let's make sure our foundation is built solely on the living Word of God, which is Jesus. And let us dig. Let us find. Let us seek. Because He won't hide it from you. He will not. He'll give it to you when you're ready. Whether you have to wait 6 days, and the seventh day, as He did with Moses, and you go in for 40 days and 40 nights, as He did with Moses, as Jesus did. Do you know why Jesus had to be in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights before He was tempted? So He could be, He could feel the human weakness that we all felt. So we can't say, well, Jesus never experienced that. He did. Whatever it is in your life that is troubling, and we all have those. We all have that secret place inside of us that, I'm glad nobody knows about that. Jesus knows. And He has felt. And He has experienced. And He overcame. And we can overcome because He did. I know Dave, I hear a song every whip stitch, and we were still over in the other building. And he played that before his sermon one day, and it says, we're overcomers. We're overcomers. We're victors. We're not victims. I hope the Lord has stirred your heart this day. I hope it will help us to maintain our focus where it needs to be. We always talk about distractions we've had. We're going to keep having them. It'll be something different coming. This COVID thing, it is what it is. It cannot get in your way. It has nothing to do with the written Word of God. Amen. It's part of the process, guys. We're going to get through it.
You can't take your
That's right, man. That's right. And to, as songs we sang today about being in the presence of the Lord.